Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International. We are also uploading this program to our website, rai.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and I'm bringing you Lockdown edition number 4, the fourth program that I'm producing in my home studio here in Buenos Aires, in the neighborhood of Montserrat, in the context of the ongoing lockdown that Argentina has been since March the 20th, in an effort to prevent the spread of coronavirus. That's why RAI has been active and producing content, but with every single worker of the station staying at home and producing content and recording from home. And that's what I've been doing, and that's how I'm producing this fourth program of RAI in English Lockdown Edition, that today will include two conversations, two talks. One with an Argentine in Texas telling us about the ongoing situation up there in southern US, how's the response and how they are hanging in over there in Houston, Texas. And also we'll talk to an Argentine scientist about the tests to test COVID-19, and also to talk about a balance of the situation more than a month into the pandemic. If you want to get in touch with us, remember that you can send an email to rai@raiargentina.com or to qslrai@gmail.com. If you're sending a reception report, we are responding, we are answering those reception reports with special QSL cards, digital QSL cards. So keep on sending those reception reports to qslrai@gmail.com. On our website, rai.com.ar, remember that you can find this episode and previous episodes of the Lockdown edition of the English language program, as well as standalone episodes focusing on gastronomy, culture, history of Argentina, and our Made in Casa episodes, and 1 hour long programs bringing together all 8 languages of RAI Argentina to the world that we started producing about a month ago in the context of the lockdown, another special cuarentena or quarantine production that we launched recently here in RAI Argentina to the world. And on our website, remember, you can also find the translated updated report issued by the Ministry of Health of Argentina regarding the situation, the COVID-19 situation in Argentina, such as number of cases, number of new confirmed infections, number of casualties, and also the location of these new cases. Okay, coming up, I talked to an Argentine living in Texas. Here's the Spanish language rendition of Route 66. Bueno, sí, sé que tú planeas ir por la autopista del oeste hasta su fin. Andarás bien por la 66. Serpentea de Chicago hasta L.A. Son 2000 millas, más también podrás hacer. Andarás bien por la 66. Va por San Luis, abajo está Missouri, ciudad de Oklahoma es tan bonita que verás Amarillo, Gallup, hasta México. Flaxas, Arizona, no olvides Pomona, grandes olas rompen San Bernardino. Eso es lo que querías ver en este viaje, todo lo podrás hacer.
andarás bien por la 66.
Okay, folks, that's Papo, the unforgettable Papo, with an Spanish language rendition, his own Spanish language version of the classic, the all-time classic, Route 66, performed by so many artists, including the Rolling Stones. And that's how we are starting this fourth edition of Rye in English Lockdown Edition. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and I'm producing and recording and launching this program on May the 1st, which is International Workers' Day. So happy Workers' Day to everybody around the world. All right, folks, and continuing with our regular segment, our regular cycle, talking to Argentines around the world and how they are living through this lockdown, living through this pandemic, we're gonna talk now to Fernando Rodriguez, an Argentine engineer who's based in Texas, US. Hello, Fernando. Thank you for this contact.
Hey, Fer. How you doing?
I'm very well here in Buenos Aires. Thank you for this. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to start with, when you moved to the US and what you're doing there?
Well, I came to Houston. Well, I'm living in Houston right now. Katie, most exactly, is a small town near Houston. But I came here 6 years ago with my family. I came with a work proposal with Odebrecht, a construction company from Brazil. I worked with Odebrecht for 6 years in Argentina. Then they decided to start a new office here in the United States, and they offered me the possibility to come here with my family. So I accepted. I came with them. Then after 3 years, three and a half years, they started having problems. I think you know about Odebrecht and the
everybody did.
6 months before this happened, I got the possibility to get the green card here to continue living here and working here without any problem.
And by now, the US is by far the biggest hotspot of COVID-19, with the highest number of cases and with the highest number of deaths. But we know that the hotspot is New York. What's the situation like in Texas, and more specifically in Houston now?
Yeah, the more problematic is in the north, in New York. Here in Texas, there are a lot of cases. I think, if I don't remember wrong, Houston has 5,000 cases, but Houston is pretty big. And when I'm living right now in Katy, there are 90 cases. So the government issued the stay-at-home order beginning of March. So they closed schools, they closed shopping malls, they closed restaurants, the sports,
they
concerts, all the events.
And they remain closed ever since.
Yeah. So, but this the situation is different with Argentina, because in Argentina it's mandatory to stay at home. And if you want to go out, if you need a permit to do that. Here it's different. You can go out if you want. You can go for a walk. You can go for a run. You can go for bicycle ride, and the police will not stop you and asking you for a permit, because it's not a mandatory order. Okay, so people here, they continue going to the street. There is no too many people on the streets, but yeah, the people walk, the people run, so the people go outside. Okay, the order is to not to avoid social meetings and keep social distance. We are trying to stay at home as much as possible. We are trying to order everything online. So if I want to go to Walmart or another supermarket, I first order online and I can ask them to deliver it, all the things at home to my home, or I can go to the Walmart and ask for pickup.
Are they testing over there in your area? I know that they have this drive-in compounds in which people can drive in and be tested for COVID-19. Do you have any of those over there?
15 minutes from my home.
And is it a voluntary thing to go there, and you are, or you are called in, you are requested to go there?
No, you can go there. So, but in order to be tested, you have to you need an order from your doctor. So first, you have to call your doctor, or you have to call. There is a number they provided, and they first do like a first check of your symptoms, and then they decided if you can go to test, to be tested or not.
Okay, and what about your family here in Argentina, Fernando? You keep in touch with them? Are they safe?
Yeah, all are safe. I always be in contact with my sister there, my father, all the family from my wife. So everyone is safe. So it's a good news.
Where are you originally from here in Argentina?
From Wilde, Avellaneda.
Cool. Well, thank you, Fernando, very much. That was very informative. Thank you very much. Stay safe, stay home, and let's hope that we get together again and have something to drink and a hug and all of the things that we're missing because of COVID-19.
Yeah. So thank you so much for your time, for calling me, and well, let's keep in touch.
All the best, Fernando.
All right. Have a good one, Fer.
That was Fernando Rodriguez, an Argentine engineer living in Houston, Texas, telling us about his experience over there and how him and his family are living through the lockdown and the pandemic over there in the US, in that part of the US. As he said, he's originally from Wilde. Wilde is a neighborhood just outside Buenos Aires City, about a 10-minute drive south of the capital, in the area we call the Greater Buenos Aires, the Conurbano, which is in the Buenos Aires province district. And now we'll talk to a scientist. We'll talk now to Eloisa Arana. Eloisa is a professor at the University of Buenos Aires at the School of Medicine. She's an immunologist, and she did her doctorate and postdoctorate studies in the UK, more specifically at the Imperial War College, and she also worked over there in England at Cancer Research UK. Hello, Eloisa, thank you for this contact, and I'm gonna start asking you about your opinion a little more than a month after the lockdown was implemented in Argentina. What your assessment of the results here in the country to prevent a rapid surge in COVID-19 cases?
I think in Argentina it has been quite effective, because really we didn't have like a peak of cases in a very short period like other countries. So we've been able to control the number of cases in these 40 days. So for me, what it has been done, it has been quite successful in that aspect of controlling the peak of cases so far. This doesn't mean that it cannot come later. So we have to be careful in what to do next.
Of course. So far, we've had fewer cases compared to other countries in the region. That's for sure.
Yes. So not only fewer cases of COVID, sometimes the people are worried about the underestimate of the cases. And in our country, we didn't have more deaths than usual, as it happens in other countries, which maybe do have low numbers of COVID, but then you can see in the whole number of deaths that anyway they are higher than normal. This is not happening in Argentina either. Actually, we have less deaths probably because we are not spreading other diseases like flu. That this would be the annual flu. We should be start having them, and we are not. So I think it's a real success, and I think we can be sure that for the moment we are being successful in controlling this.
Well, now we're moving into another subject, because you just mentioned it, and it's the numbers. When you're comparing numbers, everybody refers to the tests and the number of tests that are being carried out and the number of tests per million inhabitants. That's the figure that you need when you have to compare the handling of this crisis between countries. And some of the critics of the government handling, especially at the beginning of the pandemic here in Argentina, we're talking a lot about the tests and the number of tests and the fact that the tests were carried out only here in Buenos Aires or mostly here in Buenos Aires, and Argentina is a pretty large country. Now the Ministry of Health has started informing daily the number of tests carried out, which is about 2,500 per day. But what can you tell us about testing of coronavirus in Argentina now? Are we doing well? We can improve. What's your assessment?
The definite diagnosis is through a test that is called real-time PCR. So real-time PCR is not an easy test to do in any facility, in any lab facility. You have to have some complex machines and qualify people to perform the test. I mean, it's a test that is definite, and you are measuring copies of virus in circulation of the patient, so it is very accurate. But it's not easy and it's not cheap. So I understand at the beginning it took a while to set up different labs across the country to be able to perform the tests in many points of the country. So it took some weeks, but in the end they did it. It's an expensive kit, so I understand also the stringency, let's say, to test everybody through this kind of technique, because as I said, it's expensive and it's complicated. So we needed the human resources to perform it and the economic resources to perform it. I think in the end, so it started maybe everything concentrated in the Malbrani Institute, but as soon as they could, they train the people outside the institute in different points of the city and of the country, and everything went through as I think they should. So there's another kind of test which are the tests based on they are called the pin prick tests because they are cheap and fast, but they are based on detecting the antibodies that we make against the virus. So they are less accurate because you are detecting the immune response of a person, but they are much cheaper and they are they are quick. So the World Health Organization, they recommend that diagnostic should be based only with the PCR tests and following some guidelines that our government really follow that guidelines very accurately. I mean, if you enter the World Health Organization, they have a protocol for testing, and we follow that protocol. In the beginning, we start testing by PCR the people who came with symptoms from abroad. Then they start testing the people who were in contact with these patients. And in the second phase, we start testing people who hasn't traveled. I mean, we follow strictly all the guidelines. Regarding the pinprick tests, which are the fast tests, the World Health Organization has pronounced about this, and they do not recommend for diagnostic this test, maybe for testing, more for, let's say, research, for research like the one I do about pandemics for data in the future. The government has bought these pinprick tests, these quick tests, and they have started checking in train stations or whatever, anyway, to collect data for the future. So I think in general, what has been done also, it has been quite well, let's say. I don't know, it took a while, for example, to decide to buy this pinprick test to test more people. But as I said, they are not accurate tests anyway. So I don't think that is a big, mistake, because anyway, they are not the ones used for diagnostic. So I think in general, what we are doing is okay. As I say, the PCR tests, maybe they are still carried out in few places. Maybe we could set up more places. But the problem is in the context of a pandemic, there are fewer resources, human resources as well. So, for example, I could be performing those tests, but I'm in charge of my kids at home. So, and this is the situation for many health workers. So this is the other problem.
About how many places around the country and where, if you have that information, are performing the more accurate tests?
I do not have the final figure in the whole country, but I know in the region of the capital and the surroundings of the capital, I think there are like 15, 20 labs, because I mean, in my faculty, in medicine, in the laboratories of my faculty and in the hospital where I work as well, in both places, they are doing the tests. In La Plata, where I come from, there are also 4 or 5 labs, and in all the, so at least in the region of Buenos Aires and the province of Buenos Aires, there are 15 or 20 labs. And I don't, in the country, there are in Rosario, I think in every province, there are 1 or 2 labs that have been set up.
Eloisa, it's been 4 months since the outbreak began, and I know that the scientific community around the world is trying to catch up with what is a brand new virus that a year ago, to my understanding, did not exist. And so far into this situation, into the pandemic, what do scientists, what do virologists, what do immunologists know about this virus 4 months into the pandemic? Is there immunity, for example, is the question that everybody's asking.
Well, to be honest, for me, I'm always optimistic. I think it's known a lot for the age of the virus. Let's say 6 months we know about this virus. And in 3 days it was sequenced in China. So this is unbelievable, to be honest, for a new virus that in 3 days they have the genome. So this is very good. This is why we have a PCR test so quick. So science is advances always very fast, because this never happened with the virus before. It always took longer. And if you see, in 6 months, we are talking about different tests, genome, variability of the genome, vaccines. It's unbelievable how fast we are moving. So I am pleased with that. Regarding immunity, it's hard to say at this point, no matter how fast science goes, anyway, our organism takes a month to mount an adaptive immune response. So imagine in a six-month virus, if every person took a month to mount an immune response, it's difficult to characterize, no matter if you sleep in the lab, you know? So what is known is that people make antibodies. What we don't know yet is for how long these antibodies protect us, because it hasn't been so long to assess this. Okay, we don't have a year with this pandemic to assess if the people who has suffered the infection can be reinfected. But what we do know is that antibodies are found through this pink prick test that I mentioned. And we have to still see for how long these antibodies are protective for people. The thing is, it's an antibody that mutates quite fast. You know that in the news here in Argentina has been that the different strains of the virus that have been sequenced over here, so we already have the information about the strains of the virus that are present within our population. So that's very good, because it will tell us whenever is a vaccine that is available, if it's going to be useful for the strains that are in our country. So this is very good for the science of our country. In our country, in research labs, they are also working with proteins of the virus, also looking for vaccines. So this is very good for us as well. And we will see about the immune response. We have to see about the virus. We know a lot. We know that it mutates very, very fast, like all the RNA viruses. We know that it's very... is capable of spreading very easily. We know that half of the people is asymptomatic, which is a problem, because you have people that spread the virus and don't know. As I say, we know the genome, we know the different strains, we know how to detect it. So I think I'm quite pleased with the science around this, to be honest.
Well, Eloisa, thank you very much. I don't want to steal more of your time.
No, thank you. I hope it's been useful, and I hope my English is not so rusty.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
Because it's 10 years absolutely I'm not. Back. No, and it was never no, very no. good anyway.
No, it's perfect. That was Eloisa Arana, immunologist. She is a faculty at the Medicine School of the University of Buenos Aires and also a researcher at the CONICET, which is the main scientific institution here in Argentina. Thank you very much, Eloisa, for this.
Thank you, Fernando.
And with that, we come to the end of this lockdown edition of RAE Argentina to the World in English, the fourth lockdown edition that I produced in my house of Buenos Aires. I'm Fernando Farias, and I haven't been to the station for more than a month because of social distancing measures here in Argentina. But here at RAE, we are very happy with the amount of content we have been able to produce to keep in touch with our listeners around the world. The Made in Casa episodes, the standalone podcasts, the translated health ministry reports about COVID-19 in Argentina, and this standalone English language program that we've called Lockdown Edition. Thank you very much for listening. Check our content on rae.com.ar. Stay safe, stay home, and hasta la próxima.